Welcome to another broadcast of the Pamela Folan Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. You can pick them up at artistfirst.com. She's the author of 9 books, a cat and dog expert, and the host of this broadcast, live from Texas, USA. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pamela Folan.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm excited to be here with you. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Again, I'm Pamela Folan, and I've lived in Texas all my life. I've had 2 passions all my life, one being animals and the second being writing. I grew up in a house full of animals, wanting to rescue every stray dog, cat, bird, anything I could find, and now have my own house full of animals that have inspired my career as an author, and I've written my books based upon my real-life pets. My picture book series, Sunny the Wonder Dog, is based on my real-life Shih Tzu, who was so smart, we called him a human in a furry body. It was like he had ESP or something with me. It was really cool. And had to come up with a creative way of explaining his intelligence to everyone. So had to be that he was an alien from outer space, disguised as a Shih Tzu. So that's what Sunny the Wonder Dog series is. The Sunny from outer space is him coming to Earth and having to learn how to be a dog, not being able to say anything but woof, having to walk on a leash and eat food out of a bowl on the floor, all these things that real-life Sunny really was not wildly fond of. And so it's been a fun series to write and work with. And my other series, Megan's World, is based upon an incredible experience I've had about 8 years ago now of finding an abandoned litter of one-day-old kittens. And there are 4 kittens in the litter. I bottle raised them and had every intention of fostering them and adopting them out. Well, we just celebrated their 8th birthday this month, and I still have all 4 of them because I was so in love with all of them. So that is the inspiration behind Megan's World, is I thought, what an incredible once-in-a-lifetime experience, and what an incredible way to teach young readers about the true responsibility it takes to have a pet. So that's what 13-year-old Megan starts off doing in Megan's Munchkins, is bottle raising the kittens and learning about pet care and responsibility through that task. And then she goes on to work with a veterinarian and pet sit for other people's pets as well as the series progresses. So both of these series have been really, really fun to work with. And I'm really glad you all tuned in tonight, because I've got an exciting show for you. We are going to be talking about cats. And like I said, my cats just had their 8th birthday, and I even talked my producer, Z-Man, into coming on the air and talking about cats, because I know he has cats as well. So this is going to be a good show. Are you ready to get started, Z-Man?
I am. Take it away.
Okay. Well, I don't know how many toys your cats play with, but my cats have very particular things that they love to play with. And like I said, my kittens just celebrated their 8th birthday earlier this month. And it's always a challenge, because my cats are spoiled, to find new toys for them to do. And one of the new toys that I found that my cats just love are these apps for cats that I've downloaded onto my iPad. And one that my cats are just kooky for is called Mouse for Cats. And it's this little computer-generated mouse, runs around the screen, and the cat gets points every time it bops the mouse. And my little female Misty has the biggest prey drive and the best concentration I've ever seen on a cat. She's gotten up to level 13 on this sucker. They're hypnotized by it.
Wow. I had not heard of that, although I've seen my cats get interested in something that's on the television screen and go after it, you know, thinking it's a game for a minute or two, then they lose interest. But
I guess technology's taking over even the pet world because they now have apps for cats, and my cats are addicted to them.
That's amazing. I have four cats, two males, two females, but I have a pet door built into my home, and they all come and go multiple times every day. I live in a nice suburban neighborhood. I worry every single day that one of my cats is going to get hit by a car in front of the house. But in 35 years, that's only happened once, and it happened with a cat who was 18 years old that actually had dementia. And she wandered out there not really knowing where she was. So far, God's been very good to us, but it's always a threat every day. Other than that threat, they have unlimited exercise outdoors, and the toys they bring home are live rabbits, live mice, live bats, birds of every flavor, voles. I didn't even know what a vole was. I had to look that one up. And sometimes they'll bring five baby rabbits home at the same, you know, one right after the other. So in the house on the toy front, that only gets in the middle of the winter. I have to come up with toys because they don't like to go out and freeze. But other than that, one of their pastimes is going out and gathering fleas, probably from the yard. So I constantly have to brush my cats and keep track of the flea, not necessarily in the winter, but because the cats go outside. We've had a couple of ticks that I have found on the cat's fur from going outside. Nothing has so far that has bitten them. But as I brush them, oop, there's a tick. But only a few in all these years, but they are around. So there are
hazards. What do they do with the rabbits when they bring them into the house?
They just bring them to me as a gift. It's very hard. I have tried to save all of the rabbits over the years. It's very difficult. They require a temperature-controlled environment. And I did go out and purchase the special food they need. Comes in a white powder, and you add a little water to it. But I've never been successful at keeping them alive for more than a couple of days. And when I call the vet and the pet stores, they say, you know, good luck with that. It's very, very hard, especially with young baby rabbits, to bring them up to adulthood. So I'm 0 for...
Wow.
Six, maybe. I try. Believe me, I try.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can do. How do you teach the cats to come back to the house through the cat door once they go out?
Oh, they don't need to. I don't teach them anything. First of all, they learn from each other. And once one cat watches another cat go out the door, they're like, hey, did you see that? I'm going to do that. And they, you know, since I've had multiple cats over that are multiple ages, you know, my oldest now are 11 and my youngest is about 5. So as long as there's older cats in the house, the other cats just seem to watch them. Just like children watching adults, they watch what they do and then they copy it.
Yeah, I was just curious how they knew how to get home.
Oh, cats have a remarkable sense of where they are, as do many animals. One of the DJs that works here lives in a city. It's about 19 miles away. And one of the cats that lived here at the station... No, this is a... This was actually a cat of mine. Anyway, he gets in Ray's car at my house. Zeus does. And Ray doesn't know. It's a Porsche, and he gets in the back there where the warm engine is, and Ray always wears earbuds, and the music's blaring. So he got in and drove home. And when he opened the door to go into his house, my cat shot out of the car and tore off into the wilderness. 19 miles away from home in the middle of the winter. And 3 months later, that cat walked in. I'm laying in bed, and I look down. There's Zeus. I'm like, what? He walked home from 19 miles away in January, February, and March. And in Ohio, that means snow, and more snow.
That's incredible.
And he had to cross four-lane highways multiple times. Exactly. So when you ask how do they know, they know. Also had a cat that my ex-wife was taking in to the vet, and she decided she didn't need a cat carrier. And as she got to the door of the vet's office, the cat decided it didn't want in and kind of tore her up and got away. Now, that was only about a mile away from my home. But how would that cat know what direction to go? And long story short, it took him about 8 weeks, and he walks in the door.
Whoa.
How did he know what direction to start? You got 360 directions you can go, in degrees anyway. How did he know? How did Zeus know what direction to head from Canton to Alliance? In the middle of the winter. I'm telling you, I would not, and I'm sure people hearing me tell this story, they don't believe me. They're like, that guy's making this up. I am not making this up.
No, it sounds like you need to make another homeward bound, incredible journey from your cats. They've got those pets beat.
Well, listeners, so don't lose hope too quickly. If an animal gets out, I see posters all the time on telephone poles, missing animals. And many of those do return home. Many of them do. I believe science has proven many animals, cats, dogs, birds, etc., they can sense, electromagnetism, for the lack of a better term, they have far better navigational skills than we do. How do the birds that fly to, 2,000 miles on a migration, how do they know how to get back to the exact tree they live in?
Well, that's true. That's incredible to think about.
Yeah,
how do they return to the same pond, the ducks and everything every year?
They have an ability that we have lost for navigation that we could learn a lot. But I'll throw one at you. It was the British, or some British scientists, it's probably been 15 years ago now, 18 years ago now, they discovered, first with dogs, that your pet knows if you have left your residence where you live with your animal. They know when you're on your way back. Now, this has been scientifically proven using the same scientific method that all other major inventions are done with. This is scientific fact. They know when you're coming home, whether you've been away for 2 hours or 2 weeks or 2 months. They begin acting differently as they're being monitored. They know. Now, I'm not saying when you're walking up the driveway. Let's say your trip home takes 3 days. They begin to know on day one that you are on your way. And then they discovered that is also true with cats. I have not read or heard if they've proven it with any other animals yet. But this was like in Scientific America or something, I forget the exact publication. They know that this phenomenon is indeed real. They don't have the slightest idea what's going on. No idea. But they have scientifically proven it over and over and over again that it is a phenomenon. What do you think about that?
It's incredible because my old dog, Sonny, he knew. He knew. My parents always would watch him because he was so separation anxiety ridden that I could not leave him at my place unattended. He would just go crazy. So he needed a babysitter. I was always at my parents' house, and I would get off work or get off from wherever and usually text my mom or dad saying, I'm on my way. Sonny knew the second the text came across that, oh, okay, mom's coming home. And my parents said, oh, he would start acting just crazy, going by the door, just waiting for you. So it's incredible how the pets know.
And that's how they monitored the animals as they were testing them. You know, if all it does is lay on the rug in front of the couch for 4 days, and then all of a sudden, like you say, it's up scratching the door, it's barking, it's up, you know, it's like, hey, you know, totally excited, obviously, and they, you know, can document what's happening to the owner, that they're on their way back. I wonder what other things cats can do that we are unaware of by some of our guests on some of the different types of programs we've had on. There is a group of people who believe that cats can see spirits.
Yes.
And if you watch a cat closely, listeners, you can see that they see stuff. Or they appear to be watching or tracking something that's moving. And you're looking over there, what are you looking at? You know? And, of course, I don't know how you prove or disprove that, but maybe there's...
My cats do it to me all the time, and I'll look up like, is there a bug on the ceiling? And they're not looking at anything. I'm like, you guys are just looking up to make me look up, aren't you? I just tease them. I don't know what they're seeing, but it could very well be spirits or who knows what.
Yeah. Kind of freaks you out sometimes. They're like, she's looking right over my shoulder. Like, what? What are you doing? Stop doing that. You know, it's like, hey, there's somebody behind you, man.
You're making me think we got creeping crawlings in here. Although in Texas right now in the springtime, we have these bugs. They look like giant mosquitoes, but they're not mosquitoes. They're harmless. I call them crane flies. I don't know what their true name are, but they look like giant quarter-sized mosquitoes. And they come, they're just in swarms down here right now. And they come to the porch light. So every time I let my dog out and in, at least one comes in the house. So my cats have a field day hunting the crane fly.
Well, my cats get bored. They'll go out and get something and bring it in and let it go and chase it around.
Do you still have that really big cat you were telling me about? Off the
yes.
air a couple months ago?
I weighed him this morning. He is 27 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
He's huge. We are now calling him Big Boy. We first called him Bear because he looked like a small black bear. One of his ears got kind of removed before we ever saw the cat. So in a fight, he lost one of his ears. So now that ear looks like a bear ear. You know, it's kind of closer to the skull and rounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, 27 pounds today.
Wow.
And he
Does he have a tail, or is he like a Manx?
Nope. He's got, other than missing the, you know, about half of that left ear, he's otherwise intact. Beautiful animal. Just beautiful.
He has to be a Maine Coon mix.
You know, I don't know. I've never seen a Maine Coon in person, but I don't know. Although I will say my two oldest cats are both 11. They're the rescue cats I found along the highway. Mo and Mia. And Mo has been terrified of the big boy ever since he moved in. And we're doing everything we can to keep Mo's stress level down. But I was out yesterday working in my garage over the weekend, and Mo's always hanging out with me. So she's out there. And Big Boy decided he wanted to come out and hang out in the garage, too, so he did. And then I'm working, you know, about halfway in the doorway, halfway out the driveway, and I look down, and there is a large husky dog, you know, the sled dogs, standing right in front of me, like 1 foot away from me. I never heard him come up. Beautiful animal, but a big dog. You know, one of those, I'll kill your cat in front of your eyes dogs.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, oh, a beautiful animal, but I had to chase him. No, get out of here. You know, scolded him, drove him away. Well, Mo, the 11-year-old female, she takes off after him. Why, Big Boy cowers down and stays put. And I'm thinking, I'm chasing him now, because if that dog turns around, it's just going to kill Mo. You know, Mo's small, and this dog is huge, and she's chasing him, big brush, bottle brush tail. And I'm chasing him down the road, you know, down my street. And Mo finally gives up, which I'm glad, because, see, that dog, it wouldn't have taken him 2 seconds to turn right around and kill Mo. You know, dogs that size and cats, there is no fight. There's no contest. So Mo went back.
Do you know where it came from?
No. I did see a dog similar to that several months ago running the neighborhood. I believe it is from the neighborhood. It had a collar on. So I think it just got out of somebody's house around here. Son of a gun. The things you worry about when your animals go out, you don't want the neighbor's dog killing them.
Right. I have 2 feral cats that I feed here, and my indoor cats, my cats are all indoor. They stay indoor 100% of the time, but I open up the windows when it's cool enough, let them get, that's their big thrill of getting the outdoor air, but they also alert me of, okay, somebody's here for a meal, because they'll all be meowing at the window, and it'll be, okay, a feral cat's outside. And you know, as long as I've been feeding these feral cats, I still can't touch them. They still stay really far away from me and watch me put the food down. And my cats sit in the window inside watching them till they leave. Like, you're not coming in here. It's kind of funny. But I've learned my cats are complete wimps when it comes to anything outdoors. Because for their birthday, I got them this ball with a bell in the middle of it, because I mean, anything that they can pick up in their teeth, they love. Misty, my one female, will take these spring-like toys and drop them in the water dish, and everybody sits there and like bobs for the toy out of the water dish. And I thought, okay, they'll get a kick out of the bell, and they can pick it up. It was like a mesh ball that they could pick up in their teeth. It'll be in the water dish, and they'll have a field day with it. Cats are scared of this jingly bell. I could not believe it.
I wonder...
Just absolutely terrified of the jingly bell. Now that I've taken the jingly bell out of the ball, they're happy. They love that ball. It's in the water dish all the time.
Huh.
Like, well, you guys have lost your sense of, I mean, I don't know what they do if they actually were outside with birds or rabbits, because I mean, I have a guinea pig here that they're totally just, I don't know, they know they have to get along with him, so they're pretty good. I guess that's why they get the mice on the app game instead of the rodent in real life.
Do you ever have actual mice in your house?
No, besides bugs, I've never had anything else, thankfully.
My house is about 120 years old.
Okay.
So, older house, they get in.
Well, you have land, too, right?
Well, I have a yard. I don't know if you call, I guess it's made out of land. You know, it's about, my whole property is probably 3/4 acre, maybe less than that. It's a good-sized city lot, but it's a city lot. you know, it's not some giant, I don't need a tractor lawnmower to cut my grass. How's that?
That's a good thing.
Well, but one year my neighbor decided he'd put in a wood furnace and he was going to burn wood all winter. So he went out and cut down a bunch of trees and stacked up, you know, an area probably 20 feet by 50 feet of logs. In other words, he put up a mouse condominium.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, we had lots of mice. And that stupid wood pile there right next to my property was there for a couple of years. And I bought a, not to mention the cats catching them all the time, and bringing them in alive and then letting them go. I bought a live trap. I forget who makes it. Have a Heart is the name of the company. Have a Heart. They make traps that you can catch things live. I have one for raccoons, one for middle-sized animals, smaller than raccoons, and one for mice. They work very well, and I got 44 mice out of my home in one summer. Yes, I counted them, 44. Now, what did I do with them? I put them in took the cage, put them in the van, and went out to a nearby reservoir and let them go so they can live out their lives like mice would in the natural world.
Right. Get them out of their city condominium.
Yeah. You know, in the middle of the summer, they got plenty of time to get a nest. And they're hawk food, basically, outside. But I also get raccoons that come through the pet door. Possums come through the pet door. Other cats, stray cats, also come through the pet door. But dogs don't usually because it's too small. And when a raccoon gets to be fully grown, even a female won't be able to fit through. And male raccoons, you know, full grown, are way too big to fit through the pet door. So, yeah. Now, I haven't had a raccoon in the house for probably 2 years now. I wonder what happened to them.
But other cats that aren't yours will come through the door?
Occasionally. Well, the black cat I have now, Big Boy, he was an example of one that just, I'd come home and I'd hear something racing down the basement steps and I'd look and there's a big black cat in my basement. Now, he's not coming anywhere near me. So I basically have to open up the deck door and just go about my business until he runs out. You know, he believes he's escaped. But, yeah, that probably happened 20 times before he just... I said, look, if he's coming in here, what am I going to do? I tried trapping him with my live trap, but he wouldn't have that. I said, all right, you win. You can stay with us, and then he stays with us. So.
An example of how cats pick you, not the other way around.
Yes. Now, just about 3 weeks ago, over at my mother's house my son brought his daughter over, our granddaughter, over to visit with his great-grandparents. And I bought a couple buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that was, you know, we ate chicken and visited for a couple hours. When it was time to go home, as we're leaving, They have a back deck that leads down to the driveway, and we go out there, and there's a gazebo they have, and sitting on a chair in the middle of the gazebo is this tiny, tiny white cat. And you can see it's too small. You know what I mean? You know right away something ain't right. It looks fine, you know, physically. And I bet it smelled that Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it wouldn't let anybody get anywhere near it. It would run away if you tried to get to it. So I said, hey, let's put some food out for it, see what happens. Well, next two nights, Mom would see it, would come back, eat and take off. And then Mom just went out there, and the cat just came right up to her.
Wow.
Right up to her. And it weighed less than 2.5 pounds.
Oh, it's a baby.
But it's not a baby. It was starving. It was fur and bone. We just had it, got it, what do they call it, fixed. We just had it spayed and all the shots last Friday. And we tried to ask the vet, how old do you think this cat is? 7 months, 6 months. You know, way bigger than a kitten. Way, way bigger than a kitten. But dying of emaciation. So everything's cool. Mom has adopted the cat. The cat, you would think it's mom's shadow. I mean, the cat never goes more than a couple feet away from mom, whether she's inside or outside. And I've noticed the cats that I have rescued, they have a different bond with their owners. If they have lived under hardship and not, you know, they spend every single waking minute of every single day trying to figure out where the food is and where's the water. That's their whole existence. Where's food? Where's water? And once that insecurity is taken away, I don't know, it's hard to find. There is, it seems like an exceptional bond, for lack of a better word, between rescue cats. It's not that, you know, cats bought at the, anywhere, can't be wonderful, adorable creatures that love you to death. Of course they can, but there just seems something special about
it. Yeah.
An animal that knows, that cat knew, she didn't have much time.
Yeah, right.
She was, it was scary. Fur and bones. That's all she was. Now she's doubled her body weight and everything's fine and she's going to live. She hit the lottery, as my friends say. She hit the lottery because mom will take it, love that cat to death and treat it like a queen for all of its days. So, Misty.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the four kittens that I bottle raised for from one day old versus my 9-year-old cat that I rescued from a humane society at 4 months. I mean, he is the most, Salem, my rescue cat, is the most loving and affectionate cat. But the four cats that I've bottle raised and had since they were a day old, oh my gosh, they follow me everywhere. I'm like the Pied Piper. I always have at least four cats trailing me. All four of them are here in the room with me right now while we're talking. So they've definitely got a different personality when they're rescued or when they're bottle raised or something.
Well, I believe in a situation like you have where there are multiple cats, not just an owner that has a single cat, but in situations where there are multiple cats, I think cats go into their normal behavior, which is groups. Cats live in groups in the wild. You know, everybody from lions to every other kind of cat. All right, maybe not mountain lions, but
right.
That's a common among cats. And they accept, in my opinion, they accept you into their group. You become
exactly
one of them. Others are outsiders, but not you. And that's kind of a rewarding thing when they accept you as an equal being among themselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've often marveled at how you have to kind of earn, you have to earn cats' respect and trust and love a lot more than you do a dog.
Yeah, because, you know, it's terrible that some owners use violence to teach dogs lessons or train them, you know, smacking them or punching them or beating them. You do that to a cat once, it's see ya.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how people could do that to an innocent animal to begin with, but there's just a different mentality you have to have around the cat if you want them to want to be around you.
Has your cat ever gotten you in trouble?
I'm sorry?
Have any of your cats ever gotten you in trouble?
gotten me in trouble? In what way?
Be creative, anything.
Well, there was, in fact, it was the morning of the four kittens' birthday. This was the closest to a wild cat in my house that I ever want to experience. I don't know if it's really got me in trouble, but it's the first time I was actually terrified of a cat in my life. I was truly terrified of a cat. And so I had ordered the cats a bunch of different toys off of Amazon. And I'd opened the Amazon bags and boxes and then put them in the one closet and just was going to throw them. I have this gift bag that has been the cat birthday bag because it's been jumped in, it's been ripped. It's just a cat birthday bag. It always is. And so I had pulled all this stuff out of the closet. I was going to load all the toys into the bag and put it on the floor for the kitties to explore and get into. And Salem, my adopted cat, jumps up on the table where I've put all the Amazon bags and boxes, and I go back to get the gift bag out of the closet. I come back, and Salem's meowing at me. Now all my cats meow at me. They all talk to me, and I talk back to them. I understand what they're saying. But Salem was meowing at me. I was like, well, you know, you'll get to play with them, but it's the kitten's birthday. Move. And he then starts yowling at me, like feral cat yowling. And he gets this different look in his eye. And I think, okay, well, he smells the catnip and toys inside. He's being possessive of these toys. And so I move the bags and boxes off of the table from in front of him and onto the kitchen counter, completely away from him. I go back into the room and kitchen, or back into the dining room where Sam's still sitting on the table, and he's still yowling at me. Now he's hissing at me. I've had him since he was 4 months old. He's going to be 10 this year. I just was like, oh, come on, Sam, knock it off. And I go to reach for him because that's me. He swatted the snot out of my hand. I mean, the scratches on my hand finally just healed. And he ran through the house, hissing and spitting at everybody for about 10, 15 minutes. It was the longest 10, 15 minutes of my life because I was thinking, what the heck happened to my cat? And how am I going to deal with this? And finally, I've got all the presents out of the Amazon boxes and bags, the boxes and bags out to the dumpster of the trash can, and had the present for the kittens up on the cooktop away from everybody. It was just waiting for Salem to settle down. Told him, you're going to go into a spare bedroom if you don't cool it, because you're not going to be hissing and spitting at everybody all day. And he, like, got over it. The only thing I can think is there was a smell on those bags or boxes that he did not like at all. But it was not the first time Amazon bags and boxes had come into the house. So something really got to him. Yeah. But I've never been scared of my own cat like I was of him that morning after he clawed the snot out of my hand.
Some people, when a cat hisses, if you haven't been around cats much, if a cat hisses at them, they think that they're in imminent danger. And you should take a cat hissing at you, listeners, seriously. It means that they're being serious, so you should pay attention to what's going on. It does not mean that you are about to be attacked, although I suppose that's possible, depending on something has driven them to act that way. It's basically like a teenager dropping the F-bomb. That's the way I look at a cat hissing. It's like, hey, he's upset about something. So pay attention. Doesn't mean they're going to try and get some stitches in your arms or something. But
I knew his was serious, but I was just like, oh, come on, Sam, knock it off. I don't know. I still just reached for him like, you know, come on, cool it. Because usually if he's meowing and being silly like that, I can reach for him and he doesn't react like he did. But now I learned, you don't reach for him when he's hissing because he's gone wild on you.
When cell phones first came out, well, several years after cell phones came out, I had a Samsung cell phone. It was just a flat phone, similar to later what became iPhones, but this was not an iPhone. It was just a flat screen. It had numbers and, you know, so forth. I was laying on my desk in my office. The cell phone was, you know, facing up like you would lay your iPhone down with the numbers and you can see the display.
Right.
Samsung did not make the best design when they made this phone, because there was a 911 button at, you know, located somewhere on the screen, maybe near the bottom left or something, I forget now. But my cat, Sasha, jumps up on my desk and walks over and sits next to me, and she's sitting on top of the phone. She, without my knowledge, she has hit the 911 button, and police cars come racing to my home. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Well, we got a 911 call for him. I said, I didn't call you. And they go over and look at my cell phone, and they can. It shows that the 911 button. I said, my cat sat on my phone. I didn't call. And they're like, they were kind of forgiving. All right. You know, I said, look, this is a piece of crap phone. I don't, you know, this stupid design. Anyway, 2 or 3 weeks go by. Sasha decides she's going to run across the street and up a tree. Chasing squirrels or something. And she was kind of an older cat, so I'm like, oh, come on, Sasha. You can't jump down. You'll break your leg. So I go over, and I'm reaching up the tree, and she's above my head, and I'm laying against the trunk of the tree as reaching up on my tippy toes to get Sasha off the branch. And as I lean into the tree, I press the 911 button on the phone again. So the police come racing up here, and I'm still looking up in the tree. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? They said, you called us. I did not. And Sasha's still up in the tree. And I get my phone out, and they can see. It's. They're like, you know, you do this again. I'm like, dudes, I did not. You know, they knew me, so they knew I wasn't playing games. But they were not happy that twice they had to come out and put on the report. Once a cat called, dialed 911, and the second time was a maple tree. They've been pretty forgiving.
Wow. I would say get my cat from the tree.
I did get her out of the tree safely. Yeah, police don't have a sense of humor sometimes.
No. But they can be really good most of the time.
On that did note, you... just, was it maybe the first week of February? We got a phone at the radio station. And lo and behold, one of the buttons on the phone was kind of didn't punch in and come right back out. It had some dirt around it or something, and it would. So every time I tried to dial our conference line number, which begins 916, every time I hit the one button, the button would stick slightly, and I was dialing 911.
Oh, no.
And the cops come here. The chief, the second in command at our local police department, used to be a DJ here. So they know me, and they know I ain't screwing. I'm like, what? You know, quit bothering. I was in the middle of a show, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then it happens the next day. And then I figured it out. It was that button, the number one button on the telephone. Because it was, you know, needed sprayed with some kind of lubricant that it's a big AT&T office phone that it was not coming back up and hitting the 1-1 twice. So I called the cops twice on me myself. So, yeah.
Sasha, were you being charged for each time they came out?
No, and they, you know, it's helpful that TJ used to work here before he became a captain on the police force, because, you know, they know us. They the people at the station know us, know about the station, and they were forgiving. And lo and behold, I'm just thinking now, about 3 years into the station, we bought a telephone at Walgreens, It was a little conference phone, you know, hey, it was like $20, we bought it, and it automatically dialed 911. That's been like 18 years ago. And Tony Kaye's here, and the police come in. And we showed him the phone and said, here, just take it. We just got this today. We don't know what's up. Just take it. Throw it away. So that's five times 911's been called from my house that we're not. And I can't blame it on the cats anymore.
No.
Although it's a convenient excuse.
That's crazy.
What about catnip? Do you give your cats catnip?
I do. I had the powdered dried catnip for the longest time, and now I have the catnip extract that I use the spray. And, my cats go crazy for it.
Are they in rehab?
I tried getting them the live plants, and they did not like it at all. I then tried getting them these catnip bubbles that thought this was, like, fun. My cats were scared of the bubbles. I was like, okay, sorry. So funny, but I shake the spray bottle to spray the catnip spray on their toys, and my one Russian blue mix, Gizmo, oh, he comes running. He's just a catnip hound. He'll rub and roll and just go crazy. He knows what the shaker means.
Catnip is heroin for cats. They go crazy. You know, I'm trying to think of a similar item that makes humans go as nutty as cats go nutty over catnip. And I would, maybe OxyContin? I don't know. Fentanyl? Heroin?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be some sort of stimulant that the kitties love. What type of catnip do your cats do? The dry flakes?
Yeah, usually. Or you'll buy the little mouse that's full of it, which they'll shred to pieces and, you know, it'll be obliterated in a few hours. But yeah, I haven't given them catnip in a couple of years, actually. It's been a long time because they're so amused when they, you know, they have a pretty good life here. And they, I just haven't, I probably even have some at the house, but I haven't given to them for years.
Wow. I got them these, I don't know, they're called catnip bombs, and they're just this cloth that's stretched over a whole sack of dry catnip.
Yeah.
And it smells like catnip. And so my cats carry these things all over the house. Just, they absolutely love them. And they're funny. Their personality, like, changes on catnip.
Oh, they get stoned. There's no doubt about it. It's like giving them weed. In my earlier days, I might have partaken in some recreational marijuana at one time in my life. And I know for a fact, cats eat marijuana. It doesn't seem to have any effect on them other than probably they're stoned. But they treat marijuana much as they treat catnip. And I know that cats will eat good-smelling marijuana and react to it just like they do catnip.
Wow.
That was expensive.
Well, they would eat grass or anything else to make their stomachs settle down. Or to heal an upset stomach, so it makes sense. To them, it's just a leap.
You know, you're probably right. And it smells very herbalistic, like they're outside, you know, like they're... My cats
right.
eat grass every single day, and I find full blades of grass, sometimes 10 inches long, on the kitchen floor after it's gone through their... in and out of their stomachs.
Wow.
They eat it and they puke back up. It does help if they have fur balls. It's a great catalyst to help them get rid of a furball as well.
Right. I mean, I don't know how the pets will, I don't know, you read stuff that, oh, this is poisonous. I had a rabbit as a teenager. Her name was Lucky. She lived out in the backyard because back then, Plano, Texas didn't have the hawks and the bobcats and everything that we have now. She lived out there for 7 years and was completely safe. Never dug out from under the fence. Just had a whole field day out there. And you read online that tomato leaves are poisonous. My mom had this huge tomato garden on the side yard. What was Lucky's favorite snack? Tomato leaves. She ate those every day of her life. And she was absolutely fine. I don't know whether it just gave her like a little high or what, but it sure wasn't poisonous like the internet was telling me.
I've never heard that tomato plants are poisonous to cats. Poinsettias, I've heard, are. Whether they are or aren't, I don't know.
Yeah. Poinsettias, lilies, all sorts of them are poisonous.
Huh, I have tomato gardens every year, and my cats sleep in the garden. So I've never seen them eat a tomato leaf, but I suppose if they did and it was harmful, I'd have a bunch of dead cats.
Well, yeah. Never let the cats around them, but I sure had a rabbit that went into the garden and ate tomato leaves all the time.
Yeah, rabbits are a lot of work. Okay, folks, at Easter time and all, it's all, you know, let's buy the little bunny, the kid's a bunny. No, then it lives in a cage, 3-square-foot cage the rest of its life. Please don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do it. They need more attention and more exercise. They're not going to sit in the little Easter basket for very long.
Well, Pamela, I appreciate you inviting me on your show and let me talk about it, being
so
a proud cat owner.
And, this was fun.
Yeah, and I like talking about, it's like talking about your grandkids, you know, when you talk about your pets, when you're like people like me and Pamela, listeners.
Exactly.
We love our animals.
Exactly. Well, you've been listening to another episode of the Pamela Follin Show on Artist First Radio Network. Thank you, Z-Man, for joining me, and I will talk to you guys next month. Have a great night.
All righty, kiddo. Oh, I'm happy to. Happy to. Well, you know, just...